ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, it is always a pleasure to welcome in common sense, expertise, and just all-around good advice, Brother Johnny in New Orleans. Johnny!
Hey, CBJ, good morning.
Mike Ditka from Chicago, the icon, the legend, all-around great guy, starter of the Common Sense Party, soon to be everywhere. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Doing good.
So we need the Common Sense Party. We begin with Susan Rice will not be Secretary of State.
President Obama said, while I deeply regret the unfair and misleading attacks on Susan Rice in recent weeks, her decision demonstrates the strength of her character and an admirable commitment to rise above the politics of the moment to put our national interests first. The American people can be proud to have a public servant of her caliber and character representing our country.
And Fox News has reported she might be National Security Advisor, but Johnny, it was all unfair and inaccurate.
Well, it's just amazing to me, Obama's propensity to deflect exactly what he's done, which is make something political, 100% political, onto someone else who's not made it political. You know, Mike, Secretary Rice isn't a high school sophomore.
No.
On the student council, was told by her advisor to say something about how to elect prom queen that was wrong. She's UN secretary, and her job is to find out what was going on, which she could have done, and not just parrot what she's being told. That's integrity. I don't know Susan Rice, but I'm not going to give her a pass on that because she was told to say a bunch of crap to the American people for weeks. And Obama went right along with it because he thought it would hurt his election if he tried to tell the truth. That's politics.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And the truth doesn't change because someone got to be president. I can't use the word won with some of the voting results I've heard, but he is president. But the truth doesn't change.
Yeah.
There's the truth. And I'm not hearing a lot of it.
Yeah, I, John, I think what you said is exactly right. I mean, there's not much I can add to it. I really think that the people above her knew a hell of a lot more, and she protected people with what she said, which is wrong, because you're there to do your job, not to protect somebody. Give the facts. The American people deserve what the truth is. Was it bungled? Yeah, it was bungled. You can say, hey, we screwed up. You know, sometimes that's better than say, hey, we screwed up, than try to hide everything. You sweep the dirt under the carpet, it's still there.
Right, and there were ways that her office could have found out from the State Department
yeah.
a lot of discrepancies without jumping on something that didn't make any sense to anybody at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, anybody think the fiscal cliff will be figured out, Johnny, before now in the new year?
I don't know, actually. I'm beginning to think we might hit the fiscal cliff. Obama's certainly driving it, and he doesn't mind us going over the cliff, I don't believe. The Republicans have a large number of pretty staunch kind of no new taxes without spending cuts. And, you know, but it could come to that. I have no control over it, Mike. I quit worrying about it because there's nothing we can do.
Well, John, you make a good point because probably 70% of America doesn't understand it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, so they really don't. So, I mean, I know what you're saying, and then the president is playing hardball, and I don't think he's going to win this time, so maybe they will go over the cliff, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if you're printing money like we're printing money anyways, I just saw that this morning, we're going to print another so many billion dollars, I mean, to keep inflation. I mean, I'm not sure I really understand what we're doing. I thought, you know, it's like you run a household, you know, you can't spend more than you earn, things like that. I mean, I thought that was all common sense.
Well, and I don't know what the really big holdup on spending money even can be anymore. We haven't had a budget, Steve. They still spent $1 trillion more than we've spent in every year anyway. And there is something to the budget, the debt ceiling. There's some that's hard to go over. So that could be where the real kind of this is the line in the sand. And if we don't raise that, I'm not sure we can get the money in terms of how the system's designed. None of the rules or any of the parameters that I was always...
And I'll say one other thing, too. I think all these politicians basically are living in the moment. They're not looking at the big picture and foreseeable future of what's going to happen, because they may not be around. They may be. We know the president won't be around after three more years. So, you know, I'm not sure they're looking at the big picture down the road. What kind of situation is this? We're going to put our country in for the next group that has to run the country, or whether they be Republicans or Democrats or whatever.
And I think you're right about 70% at least don't understand how it works. But I've got a feeling about 70% of our leaders don't understand how it works.
Well, you got that right. You know, I listened to Dick Durbin yesterday, and it's a joke. Yeah. Every other word out of his mouth are the Republican. You know, instead of just saying that, to me, I really am amazed at politics, because I don't know Dick Durbin. I think I've met him once. He doesn't seem to be very bright to me. I'm sorry, and because again, there's a guy who uses no common sense, and come on. You just think about what you're saying once in a while.
Don't
attack the other guy. Say, hey, listen, we got a problem. We got to work on it.
Well, and what works for them is what gets them reelected. Nothing else matters.
Well, and spend, we know what works.
Mm. All right, Harry Belafonte on a show I have never seen, the Al Sharpton Show, Harry Belafonte.
We want what Barack Obama is talking about. We want the country to go in that direction. And what fascinates me is that in the face of millions of Americans expressing their desire, the whole political establishment defining its game, that there should be this lingering infestation of really corrupt people who sit trying to dismantle the wishes of the people, the mandate that has been given to Barack Obama, and I don't know what more they want. The only thing left for Barack to Obama to do is to work like a third world dictator and just put all these guys in jail. You're violating the American desire.
All right, the aspect you did not see is that Al Sharpton laughed, but Harry didn't, Johnny. Lock them all up.
Well, I think Harry's a pretty left guy. You know, the lingering infestation, it's about 75% of Americans, because the election was 50-50, but 40% of the people didn't even vote. And I'd guess two-thirds of them wouldn't have voted for Obama. Look, this was not a mandate. We had areas where there was an alleged 90% turnout, where there's high population centers, which were totally overrepresented. And 90% didn't vote, Mike. 90% of the people out of Chicago supporting Obama who drove to Pennsylvania might have voted in Pennsylvania, but they didn't vote in Pennsylvania 98% at a 90% turnout. I don't think that happened. Well, and it's at least 50-50 in any case. So Harry's got to face some reality there,
too. Well, what a fine American that is. He's a great American. I mean, he really espouses everything America's all about, Harry Belafonte, really. Come on. Really? You got to stop it. Listen, come on. That's all you need. That's like Chavez, pointing out our mistakes. Come on.
But what's a little concerning, Steve, is that Harry and people like him are now supposedly the leaders, and they've got it set now, and we've defined what's right and wrong, and here's how it's going to work. It's, Mike, you said it before, the inmates are running the inside.
Right. And, the only thing he's ever done is sing, Deo, Deo. I like that.
I mean, it's a secular movement, Johnny, isn't it?
Well, it's secular is one thing, but it's off the mark in terms of how we're going to maintain our level of civilization and style of living. And it's just, they're incorrect. What they're going to do is going to hurt what we want. Look, it's called making promises you can't keep. And what I've noticed is that I think Obama's on to that. And he started this division because the government has made promises they cannot keep. So what he said, you've got two choices, Mike. When you've told someone something and it's not going to happen, you can either say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I'll try to make it up to you. Or you can say, they did it. It was John and Stevie and Mike. They got your money. They're taking it. We can't give it to you. Get them. And that's what I see him doing. That's what this division is, which is, good grief, we're not going to be able to come. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and we're not going to be able to come through with this. Someone's going to have to be blamed, and that's what we see across the board with our leaders is no accountability. I didn't do it. Blame them. And particularly the Democrats blaming the Republicans, Steve. That's what I hear.
Mm. 744, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3, live at the Pines in Urbana. Okay. RG3 is a cornball brother, according to ESPN analyst Rob Parker.
Deeper about him. And I talked to some people down in Washington, D.C., and my question, honest,
friends of yours, right?
Friends of mine, right, who are around and in some of the press conferences, people I've known for a long time. But my question, which is just a straight, honest question, is he, or is he a cornball brother?
Which what does that mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, he's not really, okay? He's black, he kind of does the thing, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black, he's in the book, but he's not really like the guy you really want to hang out with because he's off to something.
Why is that your question?
Well, because that's just how I want to find out about him. I don't know because I keep hearing these things. We all know he has a white fiance, and there was all this talk about he's a Republican, which there's no information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into...
What? Mike, can you explain this to me, please?
Well, let me say this right off the bat. If that would have been a white man, it would have said that. On ESPN, he'd be fired.
I think you're fired.
Now listen to me. Would have been a white man said that, had been fired. This man should be let go. If this is his rationale about a man like RG3, who has character, he has integrity, he has talent, he's a leader, because he's gonna question what his religion is or what his political affiliation is or who he desires to marry, I would say very much the man is a very unintelligent man to make that statement. And it's embarrassing that people would think that somebody would want to listen to those kind of statements because they're so wrong. When you see people like RG3 and you let color get in the way, then you're colorblind. The man is good. He gets it. He understands it. He, you know, the guy is the real deal. I mean, every once in a while you find guys who are the real deal. And when you find them, whether they're white, black, pink, or purple, you got to respect them and admire them because we need more of them.
And what is the cause? That's what I wonder, Stevie. Is it to kind of disparage anyone who succeeds or wants to do the right thing? Is that the cause? Do you have to have a certain political slant or whatever you do doesn't count? Is that what he's trying to say?
I don't know what he's trying to. That was when I heard that. I heard it last night. That's astounding.
Yeah.
You're talking about a man who's one of the greatest representatives of your nationality or race. I mean, I can honestly say, you know, I've watched a lot of people over a lot of years, and I've had tremendous respect for a lot of people of every color, creed. But I have tremendous respect for him because he gets it. He's a leader. He's respected by everybody. Pinks, purples, I don't care.
Right.
You know, he's special.
Right.
Well, we learned something because I had never heard that before, cornball.
I mean, he says, he heard he might be.
Cornball brother.
I never heard that
before. I hadn't either. And yet, what was unbelievable to him is he might be a Republican.
Yeah. And there you have it.
Oh, my God.
Enemy, I suppose. But I don't understand how that got to be so intense.
I don't understand how he has the right to say that.
How can ESPN, who I think is an amazing company, how can they hire an analyst like that? I don't understand that. Wow. Are you kidding me?
That's something that they got to evaluate because it's really an off-the-wall statement, and it deserves no credibility at all, nothing. Nothing he says makes any sense.
All right. I want to switch to some of the ball games. Obviously, Bears-Packers, Soldier Field. Pretty big game, Mike. Are the Bears healthy enough?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure they are. I think right now what happened, and I think it's come down to a three-game season, guys, as I said before. You look at the number team, there's 12 teams in the NFC right now who have a chance to make the playoffs, 12 including the Saints. So When you look at, after 13 games, this has happened. I mean, this is good for football. It's good for the league. You got this many people in it. And it's going to come down to a three-game season for the Packers, the Bears, the Vikings. You can go on over. You can flip it over into the Giants, the Redskins, the Cowboys. So, you know, it's really, it's good. It's good for football. Now, you know, all the crap about putting more teams in the playoffs, that's junk. That's an idiotic appeal, because all it's about is money. And in leagues, more than money. You got a representative from each division, and the wild card teams, that's plenty. And that should determine who the champion is.
I'll tell you, Stevie, one thing that we're finding here, it's really too bad that this is our Super Bowl year, because there's a real animosity towards our commissioner in the NFL this year, of course, because we had this scandal going with the bounty and then didn't do very well, and largely because we lost our coach, I think. But it's tough, Mike. They're coming down here, and there's just a lot of negativity about the whole thing. And it's usually, this is our 10th Super Bowl in New Orleans, and it's always been a great thing for the city. But it's got a lot of negativity this year.
John, one thing, you know, when this came out, I said I thought the punishments were way too severe.
First thing you said, Mike, I remember.
I did say that. I thought they were way off the line, especially with the head coach. I didn't understand that. I don't think this commissioner thought this through very well. I'll be honest with you. Now, it's fine, you know. Now, he's kind of stepped in crap over this. I mean, really, this is not good. And the players have been exonerated. Joe Vitt's statement yesterday, I listened to him. I mean, he was pretty strong about what he said now. And he's he was very committed to what he said. And I think he'll stand by that. And whether you want to do it through a lie detector test or whatever you want to do it, I really think that, you know, I think they got a bad deal. I really do. I'm not saying that things weren't said, that you're going to, you know, get paid if you hit this guy or something. I don't know. Maybe
there was something to it. I'm not saying that either, but you're right. And there was a lot of he said, she said, and the commissioner.
It was blown out of proportion.
Right.
And it was seemed to me to be leveled at just one team. And it's probably happened with every team at one time or another somewhere through the last 20 years. But I don't think the intent. I mean, I know what was said and everything, and I can imagine, but I don't think the intent is really, we want to hurt that guy. I hope that wasn't the intent.
There sure wasn't any real evidence of the Saints hurting anybody, particularly any more than any other team in the league. But I tell you, it's been hard for the Saints fans, because, of course, we thought there was a good chance to get in the playoffs.
Absolutely. With their offense, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And Drew Brees was even making some comments about the league yesterday. And some of that's a little whining, you know.
I think that's the time to knock that off, because I think he's too good a football player.
Yeah.
And I think he's too good a representative of the league. It's no use going that route. You're not going to win anything doing that route.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, final few moments in this season of Christmas and the new year and perspective. 40 years ago today, Apollo 17 and their astronauts walked on the moon. 40 years ago, the last man on the moon was Gene Cernan. And listen to his perspective based on his experiences.
There is a creator of this universe, and I had the opportunity, few others have, to sit on God's front porch and see a small part of it. And that's what I came home with. I tried when I left the surface of the moon to walking up the ladder and looking back at the Earth and my steps. I knew we were extension of science and technology, but I wanted to know what it meant to us, to humanity, to us then and to generations in the future. And I wasn't sure, but all I knew is that the world and the Earth, a small part of the universe that I was privileged to see, was not an accident.
How about that? Not an accident, Johnny.
Well, I think just the humility, and maybe we need a little more of that. You know, we don't know everything, and all of us talk like we do sometimes, and we act like we do, and that's when we get in trouble. But,
you know, those words are so true and from the heart, and it was his thoughts, but how do you think those words would be received today?
Well,
in our society, I mean, really think about it.
He may be a cornball brother.
Maybe,
I don't
know. Yeah. Maybe a cornball, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean,
he could be a cornball.
Where are we, though, with everything when those comments are so what appears to be, not necessarily so, out of step with what we feel pushed by the mainstream?
Well, I think we're off track as a country. You know, and the mainstream, quote unquote, can say anything they want, but we're human beings that can think for ourselves. That's the beauty of it. That's our gift. And if you don't, if you just get led down the primrose path, like Susan Rice just starts reading off the paper. Yeah. Well, she should have known that.
Well,
that's all.
And we are a God-founded country or a God-based country. You know, the Constitution, everything that was written by our forefathers and our founding fathers, rather. You know, and all of a sudden now to have this stuff turn around because we've come into this more of a politically correct society or liberal society where people, well, I don't know, you can't show me God, so there is no God and this and that. I mean, it's truly amazing to me, but it doesn't bother me in a sense. I just laugh at these people. I really do because I think they're idiots, and I can't put it any other way. Not that they don't have a right to have a different opinion. That's fine.
But I think that
it's crazy.
I think that in the end, when you lose your way, you kind of like touching a hot stove. You get burned, you get back on track, Steve. I think you'll always find your way, but sometimes you just have to pay a price to learn.
No.
And I guess you have to relearn. What was it? I think we talked about it. Santayana, a philosopher, said he is ignorant of the past, is condemned to relive it.
Yeah. Right.
And we know this. The people have felt we are have been created. And listen, that isn't gone, by the way. There's a great Christmas season here in America.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're fortunate to be able to be a part of that.
I think a lot of people. I noticed. I've been, my God, I've been everywhere. I've been listening. I've been pushing cigars and wine, guys. But I'll tell you this: that I hear a lot of people. Honestly, happy holidays is one thing, but the Merry Christmas is a much better thing. And I have to say one thing. I ran into a guy who's a former, I think he said a Marine. He might have been even a general, and he had a flag pin on yesterday at this event at the event at my restaurant, they introduced me as, I think it was a major or something. Anyways, and I said, I really respect you for wearing the flag pin. And he looked at me, and I said, you know, I wear one every Sunday. We went through a whole conversation. Then he came back to me, and he gave me the flag pin. He said, this is 14 karat gold. I said, I don't want 14 karat. I said, I got a whole bunch of them, but they're not 14 karat gold. I said, I wear one every Sunday. He said, I want you to wear this one. So
wow.
He gave it to me. I don't know it's a little smaller than one I have. I'll see if I can remember to put it on Sunday. But, you know, I thought that was fantastic. And I don't see enough people that do that, that respect this country and what it meant, what it was founded on. And you know, it's all, we're going to change this. We're going to change that. That doesn't work. Well, it worked for a long time, guys.
Yeah.
And I think I see that it isn't shown as much as maybe it should, but there's a lot of that out there, Mike.
Oh,
We're still kicking Stevie J.
Yeah,
so
we are.
I have optimism in terms of the fate of humanity,
yeah.
But I got to tell you that
we're going to have a few rough years. You can't make others believe so.
Yeah, well, we need to start that common sense party, Mike.
We are.
Yeah. Hey, listen, guys, we'll leave it there. I'll talk to you Monday, but thanks so much, Johnny and Mike.
All right, guys, thank you.
God bless you. Mike Ditka from Chicago, Brother Johnny in New Orleans, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. He said it!